tucked into the spending bill President Trump signed this week were several higher education reform measures aimed at aiding students from marginalized communities, as well as historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs. The change expands the Pell Grant program and wipes away federal loans that HBCUs took on for campus improvements. Joining us to break all of this down is Howard University President Wayne A.I. Frederick. And President Frederick, thank you for joining us and Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me. Same to you.
Let's start with this cancellation of HBCU debt. More than 40 colleges and universities currently owe over $1 billion borrowed through a program aimed at financing improvements. Howard University is not part of this program. But what does this cancellation mean for HBCUs as a whole?
It's an important opportunity for HBCUs because as you look at their finances, part of what they obviously build into their programming is obviously paying back this debt. And so canceling that debt means that it can have a very significant impact for the HBCUs who do participate in the program.
Mm-hmm. The free application for federal student aid was also simplified in this bill, removing dozens of questions and making it easier for students to apply for aid. How much of a barrier to higher education was it before this change?
Yeah, you know, that application, commonly known as the FAFSA, was pretty problematic, especially for minority students and low-income students. For instance, I'll give you an example. The form requires that you, for instance, fill out information about both parents. And in some circumstances where, you know, you may be living, I have really grown up with one parent in particular and not as close to another, getting that information, getting the tax information from them was difficult. Mm. That's frustrating. So you have students who may come and try to start school, but their application hasn't been cleared. So you can't even determine what their expected family contribution is. And therefore their aid package, you know, can be formalized. And so it was a significant barrier. And so simplifying that form was also a very, very major move, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. There are also changes to the Pell Grant program, which helps low-income students avoid loans when heading to college. That money doesn't have to be paid back, but experts have criticized how the amount given in Pell Grants is calculated. This new legislation ties it to federal poverty guidelines so that students know beforehand how much they could potentially get. This change, plus an easier FAFSA form, do you think we'll see a rise in lower-income students pursuing higher education?
You know, I think that that will certainly, hopefully, encourage lower-income students, but we still have, a knowledge and information gap. How many of the low-income students actually get that type of information from guidance counselors and others? The amount of unused Pell every year is very significant. And the number of students who apply to college don't fill out or complete a FAFSA and as a result don't go because they simply did not have the information, the encouragement, the guidance is also very significant. And so I still worry that while this is helpful, it may not get to the people that it benefits the most in terms of the information and the education about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you worry, though? I know that you were saying it's, you know, the bigger problem is the information gap. But do you worry that the amounts of grants won't be enough for, say, if there is an influx of students? Will we see more low-income students stuck with student loan debt that they can't pay back?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And obviously, as the cost of higher education rises, if the amount of the Pell Grant and the amount of grants that students do not have to pay back in terms of loans isn't also increased, you're right. More students could end up strapped with loans. But right now, I think the crisis that we have is that high school graduation rates have started to decline. That, as well as a decline in the number of international students that make up the student body and therefore decrease the revenue for all of higher ed, could see a significant pinch on lower-income students. So the amount of loans and stuff that we may see them taking over the next 5 years in particular could increase. And so I think it is a definite concern for all of us.
Another significant change to the Pell Grant program is lifting this 26-year-old ban that makes incarcerated people ineligible to receive the grants. What does this access mean for prisoners and their prospects once they're released?
Yeah, you know, recidivism is a very important issue. And as we look at criminal justice reform and getting formerly incarcerated persons back into the society in a way that they can also have gainful employment is critical. And so, again, I see this as a very important step in allowing them to pursue that. There are lots of prison systems now that have higher education components through community colleges and others. And I think it's extremely important that we continue to provide that opportunity. And this Pell Grant access is certainly one way of expanding that. So I think it's extremely important.
Howard University President Wayne A.I. Frederick. President Frederick, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.